You remember that song we had last night? Reign in me, sovereign Lord. Reign in me. It's reign in me, sovereign Lord. Reign in me. Consecrate my heart. Let thy kingdom come. Establish now thy throne. Let thy will be done. Reign in me, sovereign Lord. Reign in me. Hallelujah. We want to sing that and just let our prayers go up to God, asking him to reign in his throne. In me. Reign in me, sovereign Lord.
Reign in me. Reign in me, sovereign Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we have eaten at your table, but we are not satisfied. We want more. Lord God, anoint our hearts, we pray at this moment. Anoint our understanding, O God, that we might understand the things which we hitherto have not seen. And that we might begin to know within our consciousness the things that we had hitherto not known. Lord God, let the anointing oil pour over this congregation. Glory to God. Lift us up, Lord Jesus Christ, in thine understanding, that we might see thy face. In the name of Jesus and by his blood, we ask it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Mike, could you just put that drawing back on that board for me? Thank you, Jesus. Quite a few weeks ago, God began to speak to me about this thing that you see on the board there. That is a type of, that depicts the human soul divided into four compartments, basically, and filled with a lot of garbage. Amen. And God is saying that before we can receive the fullness of what we are praying about, what we are singing about, reign in me, sovereign Lord, consecrate my heart, take over, Lord God, before all this can be done, there needs to be some dumping of garbage. Amen. You'll notice that those cubicles have a back door, which we call the subconscious mind, that unconsciously we have been taking in all the garbage that the devil can throw at us, and that sometimes consciously the door in front is the door of God. Ezekiel chapter 44 and 45 says that door, when the king goes through it, it must be shut forever. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel was seeing the temple of the living God, and ye are the temple of the living God. So God, Ezekiel was seeing the final rendition of what God's temple will be. And so you know that Ezekiel's temple was not the natural temple. It was the spiritual temple. You go over and you read Ezekiel's temple, and you'll misunderstand, you'll not understand most of it. But the parts you will understand will tell you that he was talking about the human soul. God's temple. It has a back door. Amen. Somebody said, but Brother says, where is it in the scriptures? Where is it in the scriptures? God began to show me it when I was a young man. He began to show me the four beasts. And he began to show me that the four beasts, each beast had not just one back door, but three back doors. At least one at the side. A door at each side, and another, each head had a mouth. And here was a man's face in front. But the man is like this. It would be on his left side was the lion. Amen. And his right side was the eagle. And on his back was another head. And every one of those heads had a mouth. And the mouth was to take in. So the picture does not clearly exactly shows the whole story. But that back door is three back doors. That is, there are entrances into a man's soul that we know nothing about. We are allowing many things to come into our souls. And it's the end of time now. And God is cleaning house. Glory to God. And as God cleans house, he's beginning to allow us to understand a lot of things which we did not understand before. Take the emotions. That would be the second door there, the emotions. People play upon your emotions. They play upon your emotions to get you to do what they want you to do.
Amen.
The world is planning and using all kinds of psychological trickery to play upon your emotions, and we are like sheep to the slaughter. We have been allowing this sort of thing.
Amen.
The greatest communicator that we have is the television, and they are using it with terrible consequences upon the people. They found out that sexuality will sell, and pornography will sell any kind of merchandise, and they're selling toothpaste, and they have to have a sexy sort of advertisement to sell toothpaste. They're selling toys for children, and they have to have the sex must come in, and the pornography. And let me tell you, God created man with a brain to cover his body. All the other animals were born with their suits. Amen. Oh yes, all these pretty suits they have on. The zebra has on a striped suit like a prisoner. You know what I mean. And this, the horses, they have on their brown suit, their black suit, and all the different colors, and all the different birds you see that are well suited out. And the only one that was born naked is a man. And at the first, man had spiritual power. And by the spiritual power, he was covered. He did not know he was naked because he did not need clothes. Spiritually, the power of God covered him. You say, Brother Seth, where you get all that doctrine? It's very simple. Jesus Christ, when he was about to enter into his final spiritual stage. Remember, Jesus went through all the stages, the human stages. He came as a baby, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You hear me?
Yes.
Somebody knitted clothes. Human knitting clothes made by human beings. And the Son of God, the Bible declares that when he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, that they did not see his nakedness.
Amen.
Amen. And all along, the Bible speaks of the clothes that Jesus wore. I don't know if you ever noticed it. The scripture said that the women wove for him a coat of many colors. A beautiful coat. And Jesus Christ was well decked out while he was on earth. But one day they crucified him. And when they crucified him, they tore off his clothes. Because the Bible said that the soldiers were playing dice for his clothes. So he was disgraced and made naked. And the Bible said that when the women came and Joseph of Arimathea took him off the cross, the first thing they did was to wrap him in clothes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when he came into his kingdom, the first thing he did was to take off the clothes. And he fold it up neatly, and I think it's a lesson for us. He folded that clothes neatly and put it one side. And I know it's like saying, thank you. Thank you. But I won't need this anymore. But immediately he resurrected from the grave, Mary Magdalene hanging around because she felt that somehow she must find him. She saw a man in the clothes of a workman. Come on now. She saw a man in the clothes of a gardener. And she went to him and said, have you seen my Lord? What have they done with him? And he turned around and said, Mary.
Hallelujah.
He was clothed. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now tell me, brethren. Tell me from your heart, brethren. Do you believe that he went and stole a suit of clothes from the gardener? Tell me from your heart that is touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. You tell me, where did he get the clothes?
Yeah,
hallelujah. The clothes came from the power that was within him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All he had to do is to speak the word of God within himself, the type of looks that he wanted, and he looked like that.
Hallelujah.
He went on and he appeared to them in the upper room. And he was again clothed. And he moved the garment and said, come, Philip, come on, Thomas. You doubted, come push your hand in the side and the wound. And come, feel, push the. And he said, I am not a spirit. I am not a spirit. I am flesh and bone. Feel me.
Amen.
And when Thomas felt it, he said, my Lord and my God. Amen. The message was complete to his soul. This is what I am going to be like.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. This is what I am going to be like. This is what you are going to be like.
Amen.
A polarized human being that has come forth in the image that God saw when he made Adam. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth. In earth. God in earth. When the will of God is finished with this earth, it's going to be immortalized flesh and bone. This was made to live forever.
Glory
to God.
Glory to God.
This will never die. You hear me? If this pass away from the natural physical life that it has here, it's only a matter of mockery to death and to the devil. Do you hear me? Let the devil do what he will. Let the devil try every trick he will. But those here who are to be saved will be saved by the power of God.
Amen.
God is going to bring you out of hell, bring you out of darkness, bring you out of drugs, bring you out of the fire, and bring you to the kingdom of God. And ye shall be immortal. And you will look at the devil and say, you thought you had destroyed me, didn't you? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless God. The word of God says that we are indestructible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Say amen, brethren. Amen. The word of God said, though worms eat my flesh. Come on now. Here is a man lying down on his side for 3 years with sores from his head to his foot bottom.
Amen.
For any normal, ordinary human being, this is a no hope situation. 3 years lying down with sores cover you, and you sit down counting the worms. He has nothing to do. He count the worms that are taking away a belly full. Do you hear me? An empty worm comes and he walks away full. That's a terrible picture, isn't it?
Yes.
But that picture should wake you up if you were sleeping. But and these worms are carrying on a livelihood from him. And he said, okay, worm. He said, okay, worm, eat as you like. He said, you know, I'm going to take back my flesh from every one of you.
Yeah.
He said, no matter how you eat, you make your nest, you have mother worm, you have father worm, you have little worms, and you continue for 3 years you've been eating me. I am going to take back my flesh from you one of these days. He said, when Jesus comes and stands on the earth, and I see him for myself, hallelujah, I will say, worm, let loose.
Amen.
And the worms will loose all nature that has destroyed me in this same flesh. In this same flesh, I will stand on this same earth in the latter days.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The Bible said that when Jesus rose from the dead, that the graves burst open and some of them came out. And that Job, I believe Job came out and he said, worms, I have conquered you. Hallelujah. Tonight, yes, in the heavenlies, there are some human beings. You know, there are different classes of angels up there. There are some human angels. And the human angels are divided into two classes. One class have their bodies, and one class are souls waiting for their bodies. God lend them a body, a spiritual body, in order that they be not naked. Let me put it better. In order that they be not disembodied spirits.
Yes.
Demons are disembodied spirits. Christians who are with the Lord are spirits embodied with a spiritual body.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That God has loaned them until they come back and take theirs. From the earth. Hallelujah. But the earth will give up its dead. Did you hear me? The elements will give up its dead. And all that belongs to man that is within the earth and within the elements will give up. And death, where is thy sting?
Yes.
Grave, where is your victory?
Amen.
Glory to God. Therefore, God has made us victors.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, by his blood, has made us victors.
Yes.
We have the victory already. It's only a matter of time.
Yes.
And Satan, if you doubt me, wait and see. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wait and see. Amen. One night I had a manifestation of a devil. Terrible manifestation. I was really enjoying it. I asked God to let me feel this thing. I want to feel what the devil feel like. I want to hold him. I don't know where that came from. I just know that I had this insatiable desire to hold this devil and to find out what substance he's made out of. And when I grab onto the thing, electric shock start to shock me through my whole arm. And it was trying to cancel out my energy. It's a negative energy. I don't know if there must be a negative electricity. But that's what it was. It was canceling out my own energy. And I look at the blood and call upon Christ Jesus. And I got back energy to really hold it down, you know, and to overcome it. And the words that came out of my mouth, I said, "You fool. No matter what you do to people or to Christians, look with me, you are bound for the lake of fire."
Yes. Yes.
What a useless exercise. If the devil know, take my advice, he would give up right now. Yes. The devil needs to know that he should give up now. Amen. There's no way that he has a ghost of a chance.
Oh, right.
And let me tell you, it's not because you are powerful or you're strong, but that the word of God has spoken.
Amen.
And the word of God said at the end time, the covenant that we have with God, at the end time, our people will arise.
Hallelujah.
That will be the army of God.
Yes.
And that they will overcome the devil.
Hallelujah.
And there's nothing that the devil can do to stop that.
Amen.
See, so if any devils had come to this meeting tonight, they really get a whole mouthful.
Amen.
Satan, you are doomed.
Amen.
All the hosts of hell are doomed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
People of God,
amen,
covenant people is arising. That will overcome the devil and all his works.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The word that we have been going along with here has brought us to the place. Tomorrow we're going to find out the words. Now the word of God that is necessary to take the trash out of the soul, out of the mind, out of the emotions, out of the will, and out of the desires. Amen.
Amen.
And we will go into the depths of these things and begin to ask you to apply them to your specific condition. Each person is going to apply the word that is necessary for his specific condition. And the Holy Ghost is going to teach you particularly.
Hallelujah.
What word you need for what situation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. But tonight, let us look at what kind of relationship we have with God. We were dealing with sonship.
Hallelujah.
We found out that we are sons of God, that we are heirs, not because we are good, but because we are born of God. You hear me? The little baby, he doesn't know anything. But if he knows what I know, then he would know that he is your heir. He's going to inherit all your labor. No matter what you do, he's coming up to take your labor when you pass on. And this is what God is saying, that we are heirs according to the promise and the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are going to take the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's read a little of that promise. You go to Jeremiah And it's chapter 31. And this is the most repeated promise in the whole Bible. One of these days I'm going to sit down and write them all up. And we take 33. And it says, but this shall be the covenant. 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will plant my law in their inward hearts. And the Hebrew that is translated inward parts means soul.
Thank you. So God is going to plant his law in that area that we have drawn there called a soul. And what is it going to do? And I will write them in their hearts. Now I'm going to ask, afterwards I'll ask Mike to draw the heart for me. And they shall be my people, and they shall teach no man, no more every man his neighbor, saying, or his brother, say, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, you won't need an apostle anymore. You won't need any prophet anymore. You won't need any evangelist anymore. You won't need any shepherds anymore. You won't need any teachers anymore. For God is bringing us into a dimension of godliness where God will be in each person the same. The same fullness. Now, I want you to look there. Did he mention Israel? And did he mention Judah?
31.
Somebody read that for me.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Why did he make a distinction between Israel and Judah? Now, you know that Judah is in Israel. But the distinction is very important. For Israel is all Christians. Typology now. The Israel represents all Christianity. Not Christendom. Christianity. All those who are born again. But Judah represents those who are of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you notice that the scripture says that the resurrection will be in two parts. First it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21 to 23. And I'll just tell you what it says, but for those who are studying, you can take the note, because you must chew your cud. You are clean animals and you must chew cud. You mustn't take what I say and swallow it and go home and say it's a good message. You must go over it and make sure that this is what God says. Amen. Amen. Now, the Israel is all of Christianity. Judah is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 21 to 23 says that the first resurrection is Christ is the first resurrection. And the Amplified messes it up. The Amplified Bible messes it up. I'm telling you this so that when you read it in the Amplified, you don't say it is in the Bible. The Amplified is there's somebody putting some words there to say if they were explaining it, but they were messing it up. It said Christ, the Amplified said Christ the Messiah. That's wrong. God was not talking about Christ the Messiah. He was talking about Christ the body. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. There are some references in the Bible to Christ the Messiah. And there are some references to Christ Jesus. And there are some references to Christ the body.
Amen.
In other words, there's the body of Christ. There's Christ, the eternal spirit that with the Father from the beginning. And there is a man named Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus Christ had a part that he played and he's finished. His part is finished. Jesus Christ. And then Christ the Messiah comes to the body of Christ. And you are playing your part and it's not yet finished. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, so then we see that Israel and Judah, the promise to Israel and Judah, it has to, he made the one promise. This one promise is both to Israel as well as to Judah. Are you with me? Good. Now, turn your Bibles with me. And let us go to Hebrews chapter 8. And we read from verse 8. Yes, thanks.
For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come.
Excuse me. That's the old covenant. Finding fault with the old covenant. Good. Go ahead.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
You notice that Paul saw the Spirit speaking through Paul was showing the importance that the covenant is not just with Judah, but it is with also Israel. It's not just with those who are walking in Christ, are walking in that higher place called the body of Christ. But it is also with all the Christians who have received the blood of Jesus. Good. Go ahead.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Okay. Now you look at this. You can see one there. That number one space is marked mind. And that is actually the head of the soul. The mind is the head of the soul. Whatever happens in your mind, it has a tendency to be spread all over your body. Over your soul and over your body, of course. Now, Brother Mike, if you can go, how are you going to do it? Put a wing bracket on top or somewhere there and show the heart. Draw an extension and draw the heart. Maybe on the bottom side. Oh, you have no space in the bottom. But you're going to do it. Make a wing bracket up on the top where that devil is there. And you make an extension and draw the heart. But draw it that it is on a pendulum. that swings.
Pray for me.
Oh, it's very simple. Wing bracket. Extension. Heart up here, extension, heart over there.
Okay.
Right.
Is anybody getting to it?
You can do it.
Where do you put your bracket? You want
to put it on top where that devil is, or the subconscious. Of course, it has nothing to do with the subconscious, but...
It's the back of the box, is that what you're saying?
Yes. There you are. Extend out there, heart. Draw a nice heart. There you are. Okay. Extend to the other side now. Extend to the other side now and draw the heart.
Is it over here?
No, no, no.
Other side of the box.
You are on the side of the desires. Right? Go to the side now of the...
Oh, you went over here.
Yes, there you are. There you are. Good. Now the heart swings. You ask yourself, what is your heart? You ever ask yourself that, what is your heart? Because the Bible speaks about your heart and your mind. So your mind is not your heart. And it speaks about your spirit and your heart. So your spirit is not your heart. So what is your heart? Now, you'll find a scripture that tells you something about your heart. Get into watch. What's it now? Proverbs 20:27. The heart of man. The heart of the fool. It's Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes what? 2. For a long time, I haven't gone into this. I didn't even get it. Ecclesiastes 10:2. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. I found my new Bible. It was not lost at all. Amen. So I don't have it marked. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Yes, brother.
A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left.
Okay. Now, the heart on this side, the thing is drawn a little, but okay, the heart on the right-hand side, good, it's okay, is a wise man's heart. And that man's heart is back to the spirit, the mind. The spirit is the mind, and then the next is the spirit. If you were going to draw the spirit, you would have to draw the spirit right here. You understand? And this is the side of the flesh, and this is the side of the spirit. So the wise man's heart is in the spirit, but the fool's heart is in the flesh. And the only problem we have is that some of us are wise today, and fool tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
You see what I mean? So sometimes our heart is in the spirit, and next time our heart is in the flesh. Okay. What then is the heart? If you want to find what the heart is, find what your natural heart is. Because God is only using a natural word to give you a spiritual thought. Amen. So when God speaks of the heart, is speaking of the center of your being. Your heart is the center of your physical life.
Amen.
It pumps the blood through the whole body, and it becomes the very center of your life, your breathing, your walking, your talking, your living.
Amen.
Now, your spiritual heart there for is that is a center point. When your mind say yes, 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 yes. Your emotions say, oh, no, 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 no. Your desires say, I want it, I want it, I want it. You know what I mean? And all this confusion you're having, but you come to a certain decision, and that's your heart. So wherever, whatever motivates your decision that's your heart. And Jesus said that the person's heart, put not your heart on the treasures of the world, where rust and moth doth corrupt, the thieves break through and steal, but place your heart in the heavenlies. Amen. So you see, your heart is a spiritual coming together of your whole being. And wherever, whatever motivates you, that's your heart. Amen. So sometimes it swings this way and sometimes it swings that way. God wants your heart to remain in the spirit. And if your heart remains in the spirit, all your decisions will gravitate towards spiritual decisions. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, he says here, God promised them that in that center of your decision making, to plant his law in your heart. So what we are going to do in the coming days is to get into the word, that we begin a planting in our heart, hallelujah, of the word of God that will keep us from falling.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now this is the covenant then that I'll make with the house of Israel, that they must plant in their hearts. No. That I will plant.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the blessing.
Amen.
That all we have to do is to open up our hearts so that God can plant in it. Let me tell you, brethren, you come in here putting away your business, maybe using up your little vacation time, or whatever it is you have done, whatever cost it is to you, God's going to pay you off.
Amen.
By planting something in your heart.
Amen.
That's going to last you forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God began to show me last week how that we can take the natural material things of the world and turn it into spiritual energy.
Hallelujah.
And everlasting blessings. That you can take the natural things of this life and turn it into, and that some people are turning spiritual things into natural things. Let me explain that to you. You get the principle of seed faith. It's a divine principle written in the word of God. Because if you sow, it is the law of sowing and reaping. Simple principle. But it is a divine principle deeply rooted in God. That whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Divine principle. Now, when I take that divine principle,
hallelujah,
and I said, well, brethren, if you will plant a seed with my ministry, and if you will give me money to go to Africa, to go to India, to do my thing, to buy insurance, that was under the belt. You will be blessed. And you believe it. And you begin to give me money in order that you might get back 10 times more from God. And the principle works in your life and you continue to do it. It means you are turning your money into money.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are turning your money into money because what you expect back from God is prosperity. Financial, physical, natural prosperity. You are a madman.
That's right. Try me.
You're as crazy as they come. Because God says that all these things will pass away.
Yes.
It's trash.
Hallelujah.
Whereas you could take your trash and turn it into gold and everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
You are turning your trash into trash. That's madness.
Glory.
One of the peculiar problems with humanity and with human life is that every one of us, no matter how we try, we are going to die and leave something that we had worked for.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We're going to die and leave something we worked for. The beggar out the street, he begs and begs and begs, and he dies and leaves his begging.
Amen. That's right.
Your life becomes useless unless you can turn that natural life into spiritual and everlasting life. You are not pleasing God.
Amen.
The principle, therefore, is what God is showing us here. He says, and I'll plant my law in their heart for one purpose, that they may be my sons, and I may be their God. Oh, brethren, God is only interested in one thing. Of all that we are doing, God is only interested in one thing, in your spiritual maturity.
Hallelujah.
You have a little boy, brother, and you said to me last night, do you remember when you blessed this little baby?
Amen.
My mind went back to many years ago. Here is a bouncing little boy running about. My God, help us. Suppose you had brought him in your arms and said, this is the baby you blessed 6-7 years ago. Amen. What a calamity that would be. Oh my God. How do you think God feels when you are drinking milk for 6-7 years and say that you're a child of God and you've been drinking milk all this time and you go to a service to hear somebody preach about salvation still? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has shown me that most of these ministries who live in that outer court realm, year after year after year after year, they are going to get a revelation that they must go into the Antichrist. Because all these years they have been resisting God. Amen. The other morning I turned on the television. We work in the area. We work in the area in our family room where we have a television set, and we are making the tapes, multiplying the tapes. So we work in that area, and while the tape is being multiplied, we turn the television onto its channel to get Oral Roberts in the morning, and after that the 700 Club. So while we are working, we sometimes listen to what's going on in the outer court. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it amazes me. It amazes me. I saw Brother Roberts come on, Father Roberts come on with a new revelation. Any of you here saw that program? Yes, with the new revelation. You didn't see it? And I was excited. Because, you know, I have hope that some of these brothers are going to wake up one morning and God really going to zap them and they'll come to me. And so he said he had this new revelation. And let me tell you, there were thousands of people there sitting on the edge of their seats to hear this new revelation. He said he was sitting down at the table with two brethren, a brother and sister, I don't remember who they were, but his wife was there and two families were there. And they were sitting down having breakfast. And suddenly, someone came up behind him and put his hand on his shoulder. And it was such a gentle touch. It was a touch of a friend, he said. And he said, it ran through his whole body, this touch. And he said, he turned around to see who it was. There was nobody there. And he said the person came back again and put the hand on the other shoulder. And the same thing happened. And he said the tears began to come down his cheeks. And he knew God wanted to talk to him. So he asked them to excuse him. He told them what was happening and went into a room. And he said when he went into the room, the Lord began to speak to him. And God began to tell him that there is something new about to happen. And he's bringing him into a new realm. And this realm will surpass and supersede anything that he has ever seen or known before. Now many of you here are too young to know Oral Roberts and what his situation has been in the past. But I remember Saturday morning in Jamaica, crippled people used to go to their radios. Come on now. Yes. A man is in America and it's possible that it was even a tape program. You hear me? And when Oral Roberts says, "Be healed," he said, "touch that radio." And this crippled woman in her wheelchair, her hand was lifted and put on the radio. And he said, "Be healed from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet." And the woman leapt out of the chair. And I'm not talking about fable. I'm not talking about what I hear say. I'm talking about facts that happened.
Glory to God.
The distance didn't matter. Amen. God moved, and I saw men like A.A. Allen. I used to work with them. I saw men like A.A. Allen. When I got into that man's meeting that night, my brother-in-law was a Catholic, and he was a staunch Catholic, but we had a rapport, and I was able to coach him to go to the meeting that night. But the night he had a dream, the night before, that he saw men leaping in the air, just leaping straight like this, and he didn't understand what that was. Anyhow, he went to the meeting the night. And when we sat there, and they took 2 hours to take up the offering. And I mean your soul was weary unto death. Amen. With the offering. And it was now about 10 o'clock. And the message hasn't come yet. And all of a sudden, A.A. Allen burst through a door. And he came out with such an energy. It's something that you have to be dear to feel and see and understand. The man came out skipping like a little child, just like this, and he started to skip, and he started jumping just straight up in the air like this, and the whole atmosphere began to whip, and everybody was lifted out of your seat and everybody start jumping. And when I look beside me, my brother-in-law was jumping and leaping, a Catholic jumping and leaping and praising God and speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And I have seen these men operate, and I know what they have is genuine. So there's no way for you to say they are not genuine. Amen. And I have seen the deterioration over the years, and time is taking its toll on them. Hallelujah. And he came forth with this message, and up to that point I was saying, well, could this be possible? Could it be possible that, and you know what he started saying, Brother Jerry? He started saying that I am confessing before God and before these people that I've always heard about the end time message, and God knows that the reason I never believe in it is because I never understood it. That's what he was saying. He said he never understood, and he confessed himself before the people, and he began to weep, and the people began to weep. My God. And he said, he spoke of the power that would be coming forth, but there was one thing wrong. He was saying, me. All this that he was talking, I was seeing the body of Christ coming forth and doing God's will. Oral was seeing oral. Hallelujah. And his wife sat down there, and she discerned it. And he said, well, won't you come and say something? And she said, yes. She said, I see a people.
Hallelujah.
Amen. She said, I see a people coming forth.
Hallelujah.
Like Ora. Hallelujah. Amen. But it was a blessing to see that she was trying to correct him. And another minister got up and said, I have a word. And he said, I saw a vision of you, brother, while you were speaking, and fire was coming out of your hands. And believe you me, the brother got up, you know, I'm talking about, he got up and started doing like this. He could see the fire coming out of his hand right away as the brother gave it. And you could see the message being turned, being twisted. And you know what the message ended up with? That God said that he's going to take away the treasures of darkness and give it to us. And we are going to take over all the money in the world. And we are going to have money to do everything that we imagine in God. And that's where the message ended. You see that soul?
Yes, yes.
If you don't get the garbage out of it, every message that God gives you turns into garbage.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I have seen it. I have understood it. I have known it. I have known every man. We talked last night about Branham. When you talk about men, you have to talk about Branham, the mightiest of the mighty. You better believe it. These brethren here were children to Branham, William Branham. Amen. They were children to him. He walked in the spirit. He was a humble man that lived in the spirit. Amen. And we saw him go down. Finally, he died in an accident on the road. And you say, God, why would a thing like this happen to a man like this? He was too powerful. Men begin to worship him. Two brothers came into him one day and said, Brother Branham, we have a revelation from God. He said, what is it, brother? The brother said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Branham fell on his knees and cried and said, God, take my life now. See, these are some of the stories you don't hear. He asked God to take his life. I don't know, I have no, probably it's possible that that's what happened to him. God had to take his life because men had started to worship him. You hear me? God is doing a new thing. God wants that area to be sanctified. So that he can do what he has to do. Amen. Within a few years, brethren. We are not like the people who are going to wait for 10 years. We are not like the people who had a lot of time on their hands. We are a people that must move immediately because it is 94. And that means we only have 6 years left for the end of the age. And God going to have to do everything that he says he's going to do in the Bible before the age ends. That the Antichrist must be manifested. That the tribulation must come. That wars and rumors of wars must tear this earth and this beautiful land. Look at it. Look at California. Look right now and take all the pictures you want, because it will be marred in not many years to come. Glory to God. Yes. The food that we have wasting, we're going to look back with deep regret. You hear me? We are going to look back in a few years. We're going to look back with deep regret at the food when hunger begin to move through us because there's not enough food. It has been poisoned and destroyed. And the enemy is planning to put his feet upon this land. And the only thing that is going to save this land is the people of God.
Amen.
Who know their God.
Amen.
And who walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
For the judgment and the chastisement which God has ordained for this people, amen, has only been held back.
Yes.
Amen. He that let it will let until that thing comes forth. Do you hear me? God bless us. Brethren, it is late, but you know it's never too late when God tells you to run.
Yes.
All you have to do is to run as God tells you, because God is never late. And so the message that is coming, it's coming from God, and I want you to believe it, that this message came from God. And this message is telling me that all the garbage will be taken out, that a quick work will be done in a short time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that the people of God will be ready, standing in their place for the enemy.
Amen.
believes he's ahead. But all of a sudden, he's going to see Elijah running ahead of him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Elijah wasn't out jogging every morning practicing.
Amen.
He called to King Ahab and said, quick, run, jump in your chariot and run, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.
Amen.
Flood is coming. Ahab, if he was a reasonable human being, you'd say jump in. But the Bible said Ahab jumped in his chariot and applied a whip to his Arabian horses, and they took off at 60 miles an hour. Blessed be to God. Then the next thing happened. He had a head start. He had a head start. God said, the prophet got up his courage. Amen. The prophet got up his courage and took off. Amen. And can you imagine the amazement of Elijah, of Ahab and his charioteers, when they look and they see the man of God passing them? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm yet to measure the distance. I haven't really gone into the details of it to see how far the race was. But the Bible said when Ahab reached the palace, Elijah was there waiting. I don't think he was panting at all. He was as fresh as if he never ran a race. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this is what God is saying about the people of God. That we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Finally, I'm closing. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And twice today, the scripture has been mentioned, and we never read it once. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yes. And somebody read for me that, what is second verse, second and third verses.
Ye are our epistle written in our heart, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in flesh and table of the heart.
Praise God. Now, we just read that God says he will write them in your hearts and in your inward parts. But he didn't use the word write like you write with a pen. He used the word write like you write with a knife. Amen. Engrave.
Amen.
Engrave. And if you notice that God, in building the temple, he had engravers. And the Bible said that he, God, taught these engravers the wisdom how to engrave. And the engraving in wood is that you had to cut the wood. And God is saying he's going to cut. He's cutting. Hallelujah. He's cutting. Workmanship of artistry, cunning work, hallelujah, is cutting it into your hearts and into your minds. So the word of God is going to be cut into your hearts, not going to be, is being cut into our hearts and into our minds, engraved. And I don't know, some people don't like to hear you talk about Greek, but I remember when God called me and said, go look up the Greek of such and such a thing. And the word he used here is engrave. Engeromene. Engraved, cut into our hearts. And so we become the epistles of God. Walking, talking, living Bible.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.